Just want to remind you that tonight KPCC brings you live coverage of President Bush's State of the Union address before a joint session of Congress. Comes your way at 6 o'clock right here on 89.3. It will include the Democratic response and then analysis from National Public Radio correspondents. It's a full two-hour broadcast, 6 o'clock tonight. It comes your way here on 89.3 KPCC. We invite you to join us for that. And then Talk of the Nation comes your way tonight at 8 o'clock with a full hour devoted to the memory of Coretta Scott King. We continue on Air Talk as corruption scandals engulf Washington, D.C. The California Assembly yesterday passed a key measure designed to reform the campaign finance system in California. The hope among its backers is that it will preempt similar scandals in Sacramento. It provides the nation with a model for reform, say those who support the Clean Money campaign. It was a 47-26 vote by the Assembly on AB 583. The California Clean Money and Fair Elections Act was passed by a nearly party line vote. It establishes a voluntary system of full public funding of election campaigns in California. Only one Democrat, Tom Umberg of Santa Ana, voted against the bill. There was no support from Republicans. Trent Lang is vice president of the California Clean Money Campaign. He joins us to talk about the measure. Thank you, sir, for being with us.
Thank you very much. We're very happy to be here and very excited about yesterday's vote.
Now, what do you think the prospects of passage are in the state Senate?
Well, we've always been the optimistic ones and thought we had a good chance of going forward. But a couple of months ago, everybody thought that this bill didn't have a chance. And now, as we saw, we have a very, very solid support in the Assembly. So we're actually pretty optimistic. The recent scandals have really lit a fire under people, knowing that we need to do something to change the way we finance elections. And we're moving forward pretty well, so we're optimistic about our chances.
Well, it was just less than a year ago that we on Air Talk did an hour-long broadcast from the Los Angeles Central Library focused on the Clean Money campaign. We looked at Arizona and looked at Vermont and saw how it was working there. It sort of came away from that conversation like, yeah, fat chance that California would adopt this. So to what do you attribute the fact that at least the Assembly has bought in?
Well, we think that the special election, where about $300 million was spent on that campaign, really showed the problem of how much money is spent on politics in California. That started it off. The Abramoff scandals and Duke Cunningham at the national level have really shown the public how much this is embedded in our system and lit a fire for change. And groups in California, grassroots groups in particular, really get the need that money and politics is a reform that we need to make. So people, wherever we go and talk, are getting really excited about this. They're calling up their legislators saying, hey, this is our number one priority. Make it happen. The legislators understand the problem given everything that's going on. So we believe that's what's happening.
Well, give us a quick synopsis of what this bill would do if it ends up passed and then ends up, I guess, having to be approved by voters. They would have to sign on to this, too.
Absolutely. What this bill would do would provide full public funding for the campaigns of candidates who voluntarily choose to use the system. It's a voluntary system. You don't have to use it if you don't want to. Candidates have to qualify by gathering a large number of $5 contributions and signatures to prove they have a broad base of support in your community. That's important to make sure that only candidates that have a broad base of support get the funding. If they do, they receive enough public funding to run their campaigns, and very importantly, if they are running against an opponent who isn't using the system and who outspends the system, or if they're attacked by outside ads by independent expenditures or other groups, they get extra money to respond up to a cap, and that way providing a level playing field for all the candidates.
Now, what would the costs of this be? And I know it depends on how many candidates and if everybody chooses to go the public financing route, but what could the costs be on an annual basis to taxpayers?
The maximum cost of the bill, AB 583, currently before the legislature, is one penny per resident 18 or over per day, so $3.65 a year, which works out to about $93 million a year. less than 0.1% of the budget, so that the other 99.9% is spent without any perception that, that money plays an influence.
Now, why does it need voter approval? Why is it the legislature putting it on the ballot and then voters have to weigh in on it?
The 1974 Political Reform Act had buried in it a prohibition against public financing of campaigns in California. So we explicitly have to, the voters have to explicitly approve a change in that.
And the governor would not have to sign this? It could go straight from both legislative houses to the ballot?
Actually, my understanding is that the governor would have to sign this.
Okay,
and it's now a simple majority vote in the legislature.
And do you have any sense, has the governor indicated one way or the other, whether he supports this?
We don't really have a lot of sense on the governor, though he did tell the LA Times that he would seriously consider the issue.
All right. Well, joining us in conversation is Republican Assemblyman Rick Keene. He represents the 3rd District, which is northeastern California. He's vice chair of the Budget Committee and the ranking Republican on the Infrastructure Committee. Assemblyman Keene, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Larry. It's good to talk to you again.
Good morning. Thanks so much. Well, what are your concerns about this bill, and why do you think it's not the way to go?
Well, I think on the positive side is that I think everybody believes that too much money is in politics. I mean, with $300 million being spent in that special election, that just shows you, I mean, how expensive elections have gotten in California. The difficult part is that limiting one aspect of the way that people communicate without getting your arms around all aspects ends up giving a partisan advantage, and that's where everybody gets to be concerned, I think. As why you saw no Republican votes for it is that there are certain types of speech, political speech, that are protected according to the Constitution as determined by the Supreme Court, including independent expenditure committees, which are what spent the vast majority of those monies in that special election, and also union activities can communicate with members and tell who to vote for, who not to vote for, consistent with their objectives. Even companies can do the same thing. So it only actually curtails the spending, one kind of spending, which ends up really causing people to funnel their money through these other sources. And so whether or not that actually ends up with an equitable result and getting us where we want to be is the real question.
So your concern, and I guess, so your argument would be this is why the California Nurses Association is a big backer of this, because your contention is a union like that would still have a tremendous ability to get out the vote to support, presumably, a Democratic candidate. Republicans wouldn't have any comparable advantage with this kind of a limit?
Sure, because that is protected as, you know, First Amendment speech. There's nothing, of course, precluding that. But the difficulty is when you have those interest groups overwhelmingly supporting one side of the aisle over the other, it becomes then a partisan issue. It's not something that I think you probably look out there to see very often, where groups like that have actually done the same thing on the Republican side. And so it ends up, that's always been the difficulty when you're talking about financing of campaigns. How do you move keeping a level playing field so that it ends up not being a partisan advantage game? And that's always been the struggle. Whenever the Supreme Court is ready to take all of political speech up and really try to equalize the playing field so that no one particular candidate or group of candidates or philosophy is advantaged, I think that's when we can see real progress.
Now, what about the legal issues? Because Arizona's, to my knowledge, it's not been successfully challenged legally. So if this ended up on the ballot and if Californians supported it, do you think it would be at all vulnerable to legal challenge?
Well, depending on how it shapes, I mean, I don't know enough. I haven't actually looked at the legal opinions regarding this particular measure. It's really more the philosophical aspect of saying, you know, you're going to curtail a certain type of speech and for to the advantage of others. I don't know whether or not Arizona's history has been showing that you have the same type of level of public employee, particularly public employee, and other types of union activities that tend to skew the outcome, because they are protected. No law that we make in the state of California can in any way prevent that because the Supreme Court has preempted it.
We're talking with Assemblyman Rick Keene of California's 3rd District, northeastern part of the state. He is the vice chair of the Budget Committee. Trent Lang, vice president of the California Clean Money Campaign, with us as well. Mr. Lang, what's your response to what Assemblyman Keene is saying about the inherent unfairness of this?
That is a common concern, and certainly was a concern with previous attempts at campaign finance reform, which did focus entirely on limiting the amount of money that different groups could give. Clean money is a different form of reform because it doesn't attempt, and AB 583 especially, doesn't attempt at all to limit what other groups can do. They can do whatever they want to do right now. The only difference is that this actually expands the free speech of people because it gives people who currently cannot afford to run for office but who may have a lot of community support an opportunity to run on a level playing field which they could not before. So, and actually, whether this is a partisan issue, I would completely disagree with that. In the states where it has been used, Arizona and Maine and Connecticut, where it was just passed, it has had strong bipartisan support. And you can see why in California, for example, there are many, many districts where the Republican is outspent by the Democrat, just as there are many districts where there are Democrats outspent by Republicans. So Republicans would benefit in California, just as Democrats and others, allowing a greater debate of ideas. So elections are about ideas, not about money.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how this would work with a field of candidates. Would you have a fringe candidate, let's say that she gets, you know, enough of these $5 contributions to qualify for the federal funding, and she chooses to go that route, but is still a fringe candidate? Does she get as much money as the other candidates in the race?
This bill has a what's called a performance-based system. So if candidates who aren't part of major parties can qualify for funds, but they actually have to show a broader base of grassroots support by getting double the number of signatures and $5 contributions to show that they, you know, if they deserve public funding, that it's because they really have super support where they haven't shown electoral support in the past. And we believe that would allow them to have a voice if they really have a groundswell in their district. But like in Arizona and Maine, they have not had really any problem at all with fringe candidates because it's very difficult to get 500 or 1,000 people to give you $5 for your campaign. People just won't do that unless they really believe in you, and fringe candidates just have not been able to, in those places, be able to do it, and we wouldn't think they'd be able to do it here in California either.
Now, you said this is a voluntary system. So let's say you have a candidate who chooses not to go the public campaign financing route. So that candidate is getting all kinds of dollars coming in from various contributors, some of those significant contributions. Then how does the publicly financed candidate in that same race keep up?
That's one of the beauties of the system and one of the reasons why it works where, for instance, the presidential system doesn't work so well. That is that the participating candidate will get matching funds on a dollar-for-dollar basis, again, up to a cap, a reasonable cap. And they get those funds within 24 hours after they've been reported so that the participating candidates can respond and they know that they will be able to respond to any attacks against them or to any candidate that's attempting to outspend them.
Assemblyman Keene, your response to those aspects of the Clean Money Bill?
Well, again, first of all, the matching funds that they're talking about, at least from my recollection of the bill, and I haven't looked at it today, but are inadequate in compared to what normal candidates spend in elections in California. The average Senate race is $1 million just to begin, and the matching funds don't go that high, so the incentives won't be there. But the biggest issue is really, in my mind, is the fact that independent expenditure committees will be more empowered to actually make differences in campaigns as people's ability to finance their own campaign somewhat diminish. And that's what we found with the last campaign reform package that we did. I don't think anybody wanted to see that at all, but it turned out that the independent expenditure committees because they are protected by the First Amendment, according to the Supreme Court, can spend unlimited amounts of money on behalf of one candidate over another. And so their role actually de facto increases as people's individual campaign fundraising capabilities diminishes. So the question isn't so much whether or not there's less or more money spent in campaigns. That $300 million that was spent last time is pretty good evidence of that. The question is whether or not the candidates themselves are responsible for it, or these high-dollar moneyed interests play even a more prominent role.
Now, what about Republican-backed groups that would be able to make independent expenditures? It would seem that there would be nothing to keep such organizations from cropping up to attempt to counterbalance the influence that labor unions have in California. There wouldn't be anything to stop that, correct?
That's absolutely correct. But is that a desirable outcome? I don't know that having more remote control campaigns would get us where we were looking for, because then placating those groups would be the pressure on elected officials, which is exactly what we're trying to eliminate. We don't want people to have to be beholden to these big dollar groups, regardless of whether they're Republican or Democrat. We want people to be individually accountable for their own decisions. Right now, under a open financing structure, as an example, if you took a lot of money from one individual group or another, your opponent could make an issue of that, saying, hey, they're wholly beholden to this one group or the other group. But when they do these remote control campaigns, they may be acting on behalf of somebody who may not even agree with their philosophy. But we're going to hold them accountable for that, which is, I think, unfortunate, because I don't think that's what anybody wants to see. So the question is whether we're going to get the money out of campaigns, which is really the objective here, which I laud that objective. I think it's the right thing to be working on, or whether we're going to actually make these special interest groups even more powerful. And I'm afraid that the second is going to be the real consequence.
Trent Lang, back to you for a quick final comment on this. Arizona, obviously, a much, much smaller state, and Maine is just microscopic compared to California. But have you seen any of that with these interest groups, independent groups, putting money into campaigns?
Well, certainly they put money into campaigns there, but actually the growth of the money that they put in has slowed because they know that candidates will get these matching funds to respond. And about the levels, our studies have shown that in 2002 and 2004, the amount of matching funds we would provide would cover well over 90% of the races, places where challengers normally can't respond to outside attack ads at all. So this is very responsive. Of course, the bill will be going through the Senate, so there can be tweaks and changes, but this is the one thing that lets people respond to outside independent expenditure ads, where it's difficult for them to respond now.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it. Assemblyman Rick Keene, Republican from Northeastern California. Trent Lang, Vice President of the California Clean Money Campaign. We'll see what awaits this bill in the Senate and potentially in the hands of Governor Schwarzenegger.